Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Psalm 119, we were taught that a dependence on God guides us to look to Him for guidance and strength to our lives. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, look at this. This passage is nearly 3,000 years ago, and he's writing with eternity in view. He's looking at not 3,000 years ahead, he's looking into eternity. Although, this psalmist, who is writing the words the Holy Spirit wants him to write, will die at the age of 70 himself. So, what you've vowed to God is a vow that should have been made out of love for Him, and the fact that you have sought Him to give you understanding of what you're to do and how you're to do it. So, my friend, my question then is, what have you vowed to God in love for Him through your local church? Is your heart tuned to Him so well that He would not need to break down huge rock walls for you to know His voice in your heart? So not only does a dependent church and a dependent Christian make vows to God from the love of their heart, secondly, the dependent church and Christian follows His pathway. And that is recorded for us in verses 35 through 37. Now, this is a dependent person and church. They cannot walk in the right path without guidance and strengthening from outside of themselves. In verse 35, he says, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." In other words, discipline me like a horse in order to help me walk in obedience. The story, and I found it to be quite humorous, but it was told as a true story. But in a lab years ago, someone accidentally turned on or left on a chicken feeder that would release food every 5 minutes. And the food was supposed to be released as the chickens would do certain things. It was trying to see if they could train chickens to do certain things, and then the food would feed them. And it was a way of training them for feeding times and things of that nature. Well, they had done their experiments that day, but they forgot to turn it off. The next morning when they come in, some of the chickens were dead. Others were doing some of the craziest things and motions with their standing on one foot and bobbing their head and some doing some kind of a funny wiggling thing and all kinds of things. And yes, even some of them were dead because they thought that made the food come. Well, that was a discipline. Now, they didn't know about 5 minutes. They don't have the brain capacity to understand that, but it was a discipline. You know, cults are so much more disciplined than most Christians and churches. But if you willingly submit to the disciplining hand of Christ, you'll walk in the right paths because only His discipline is right. Now, again, understand, sometimes people get into cults. There are certain things they like about it. Sometimes it gives them attention and it gives them love that they didn't receive from the people of God in their churches. They get involved, and there is a works system that is such that everything they're doing is that they might earn a place in heaven or a place in a group of 144,000 or some other special thing. And, of course, a Christian wants to lay up crowns. A Christian wants to do that which is right and well-pleasing in God's sight. But, my friend, it's not just for self to save me from hell, or it's not just that I might get exalted in some special way. No, it's because I know Christ loved me so much He died for me and rose from the dead and provided a way of me for me to have eternal life, to not only be saved from my sin, His control over me, but also to give me everlasting life, something I don't deserve. He did that for me. So obedience to Him, realizing He did what He did out of love for me, my obedience to Him is out of love. And yet, in the same manner, I realize that obeying Him works out for my good. And so, we seek to be obedient unto Him. See, faith knows the eternal consequence for the Christian is best when he obeys the Lord. So he here asks not to only know them, but as the last part of this verse states here in verse 35, he delights in them. Have you ever seen someone, I guess I'm being negative here, but have you ever seen someone that enjoys being in poor health for the last 30 years? You know, you can say, man, they've been enjoying poor health for 30 years because they, oh, you just say, how you doing? And you've got the next 30 minutes of a whole litany of things. And if everything was as bad as they've gone on and on and on about for the last 30 years, they would have been dead for 25 of those years. And there's just some people that they love telling about their poor health, and they enjoy it. That's, you have a conversation with them, somehow they're going to work that into the conversation, no matter what you're talking about, but their health issues is going to come up. They're enjoying poor health. Well, let me say this. In God's chastening, the one thing that we can enjoy is we know that it's telling us the Lord God loves us. And that takes us to verse 36. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. He is dependent upon God to keep him in the right path in life. Now, notice the contrast of the testimonies of God and covetousness. He wants his heart to be inclined, which has in the root of the word to turn. He is asking God to turn his heart because he realizes he can't do it himself. He's like the drunkard who hates his condition, hates his dependency on alcohol, but still can't lick it. So this man comes with a repentant heart. He doesn't do penance. He realizes he can't earn these things. But a repentant heart says, I know God can do it. I'm going to ask God to do it, and I'm willing for Him to take it away from me as far as the east is from the west. But he also wants his heart inclined to the knowledge of the person of Christ, that he might be Christ-like. You see, my friend, he doesn't want to be so earthly minded that he's no heavenly good, like the covetous man. And isn't it interesting that you have a lot of religious people say, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? Well, let me say from what I've studied of the Word of God and experience, I have yet to meet the man that was so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. But I've found multitudes upon multitudes that are so earthly minded, they're no heavenly good. So I choose, against the popular opinion of religion, to be heavenly minded instead of earthly minded. And I think that's right for every believer. Incline my heart that I might be occupied in life with being Christ-like in my daily life as I represent the Lord Jesus through my local church. Now, it's too easy in today's economy to covet. This is the time when marriages are troubled. I found that many times financial problems in the home are the problems that lead to strong outbursts and the most cruel of words. With men, it's often the lust of the flesh. And with ladies, it's often looking for the money, which is a lust of the flesh in a different way. I've found out of years of observance that when money problems hit a home, and then one becomes unfaithful, the man is looking for a woman that's not going to always be griping, complaining about their financial state, not having anything. I've often found that women, like that guy that lives in just a bit better house, has the money to go out to the restaurant, to go shopping, and to buy things. Now, I'm just saying that's from years of observance. Didn't read any study on it, but just being a pastor for over 30 years and observing, that's what I have observed. Now, churches, homes, businesses will have harsh things said and anger because of the bad economy and their desire for things. Now, as fundamental Bible believers who have the Spirit of Christ, therefore the Spirit of His love, we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Although we may not have the things that we were used to having in life or in ministry. You see, discontentment leads to covetousness. And when we grow discontent, then it shows our true heart. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, I know how to abound and I know how to be abased. But he also says in that very same passage that whatsoever state I am, to therewith be content. Whether I'm abounding, whether I'm abased, I am content. Why? Because his fulfillment does not come in the materials of this life. It comes in the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.